Cultivate to Thrive podcast. I am your host, Michelle Gunn, and I am the founder of Cultivate and Thrive. I'm a self-actualization and mindset coach. I help professional Christian moms thrive in their reclaimed value as they cultivate a fulfilling and purposeful life. In these episodes, you will hear me talk about what makes you you, how to find your value, how to cultivate your value, looking for your purpose, ways to build faith, and many more topics to build you up and help you lead a purposeful life. Many times my episodes will be solo. I welcome participation in the comment section, and occasionally I'll have a special guest that has something special to share. I invite you to let me know if there's topics you want to hear about or guests you'd like to see on my show. You can send me a message through my website, michellegunn.com. That's 1L2Ns, michellegunn.com. You can send me a DM. You can send an email to cultivateandthrive@gmail.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. You can find my coaching business, Cultivate and Thrive, on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Welcome to today's episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode, Living Beyond Yourself, Serving Others with a Faith Foundation. I'm very excited to dive into this topic today. I've started out the week with my social media posts prepping for this, and we'll end it with some more information and thoughts around this subject. Now, of course, if you've been watching the last month or so, you know that I do rely on my Bible to speak with God and ask for guidance on my episodes to ensure that my message is getting clear and that my words are the words that God would like me to use to serve Him. So in my prayer today, asking for guidance for Scripture, I was pleasantly surprised when I opened my Bible to Acts 1, the preparation for the Christian mission. And I think this topic, I thought when I chose this topic for this week, is perfect for Holy Week. Easter is Sunday, and the preparation for the Christian mission, Acts 1, is also in perfect alignment with this the season of Easter that's about to be upon us. So I invite you to read Acts 1. There's in this first part of chapter 1, there's a couple of things that really stood out to me that I want to share with you. And that is wait for the promise of the Father. I think many of us are so eager for results that we are lacking in patience and waiting. Many times there are good reasons why what we deem as our prayers are not being answered. They may be delayed for some reason, or the answer could be no because it's not the right thing, or it's protecting us from something. Remember that God is in control of timing, and His time is not necessarily our time. And as human beings, I know I have a very hard time with that. Another thing I want to share with you in this first chapter of Acts 1, and it's in verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Right? It's not for us to know the timing. We will have the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. So have you invited the Holy Spirit into your life? Do you also converse with the Holy Spirit? As a Catholic, I believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in Christianity, that's very common. I really have a I'm going to say a kinship with the Holy Spirit. I have a special relationship, a special connectedness to the Holy Spirit. And I often ask for the Holy Spirit to guide me and to move me where I need to be moved. Sometimes as humans, we're very stubborn on moving, especially if we don't think it's what we want to do or what we think is right. So I do invite you to pray about that. But on to the episode. I do think that ties in nicely with today's episode. In a world that's so often consumed by self-interest, you know, the me, I need it now. It's for me. What's in it for me? What do I get? I'm going to give because I get this. And we're fed into that. We're fed that. But there's a profound beauty in living a life dedicated to serving others. Now, when I make that statement, a lot of people are so focused on themselves that they're worried when they start focusing on other people that they will get lost. And that's just not the case. If your heart is in the right place, you will be fed by your service as well. But do not serve with the idea of receiving. Do not give with the idea of receiving. I'm just going to take a short break. Say hello to my friend Ronald from Maryland. My stubborn friend, yet repenting. Welcome, Ronald, and thank you. So I do invite you to say hello as you come in. If you're live or hashtag replay, that's great to know. I'd love to see who joins in. And if there's anything else you have, if you have input, if you have comments, if you have questions, I welcome them. I welcome you to share this episode out live or in replay or both, especially if you find something helpful. I appreciate any and all feedback. Again, like in my intro, there's numerous ways that you can provide feedback. And this will be also uploaded to an audio podcast for ease of listening later. But back to service. So many times in our society, we serve because we see a lot. Not that it's a bad thing, but I think it's been twisted into something what it's not meant to be. And that is an obligation. Okay, so I have NetShirt. This is not giving me a name, but good morning, Ronald and Michelle from a LinkedIn user. Thank you. Good morning and welcome. But in schools, it's becoming more and more common to require service of the students to graduate as part of their grade. Also, in some clubs and organizations, it's required. And people often look for the easy ways to give service or the fun ways to give service. And I'm not saying that there's any right way or wrong way to serve, because serving is good in whatever capacity. But what I'm asking you to do is really serve from the heart. Yes, the schools are obligated. In some businesses, there's calls. And I know when I worked in the church, we got a lot of phone calls. Well, my child needs service. What can we do? That is not really the right way to go about it. It's how can you serve? What gifts and talents do you have to offer? Even students, come on, guys, teenagers, kids, we are born with our gifts and talents. We are born to serve. So as parents, it is our obligation to look at our children and see what they have to offer. If you have a kid that does not want to go pick up trash somewhere, don't sign them up to pick up trash somewhere. You're supposed to give with a grateful and joyful heart. And that is the same with service. Absolutely. And Ronald, serving with a head serving with the head or to an agenda, but service with the heart so all benefit and not at expense of others' relationship. Excellent, excellent point, Ronald. Another big thing is, and we see it especially when it comes to money, right? Serving with our funds. This is what you get. Now, I'm not saying that people shouldn't be recognized, and I'm not saying you shouldn't give to people so that they give, because some people, that's how they're motivated. But when we are giving financially, why are we giving? Are we, I know who LinkedIn user is now, right? Evda, I don't know if I said that right. That's my friend, Vic Klisiri, right? Work, worship, and service in Hebrew. I love that term. You need to check him out, the management Sherpa, Vic Klisiri. Check him out on LinkedIn and check out, he's got an article on Evda. And it just struck me in my heart when I read it. But absolutely. So when we're giving, even financially, why? Why are we giving? Are we giving because we want the item that comes from that gift? Or are we giving to serve, to help fulfill a mission? So we really need to look at what's behind our giving. And is it from a heart of service, or is it from the viewpoint of what am I going to receive? I've seen many years, and I've seen it on LinkedIn a lot, you know, give because you'll receive, give and you'll get back. That's not wrong, but that's not the reason to give. We do need to be receivers because it is a gift to the giver to have a receiver. So we do need to do that, but it's important to serve and to give from the heart. And I just don't want to harp on that and lecture too long about that. But I do want to touch on some things today about living for others, serving others, and the role as faith as a foundation. So these things are very important principles in our personal growth as well as a societal impact, because we grow through service, right? So I'm going to go back to the comments because there are some great ones. Of course, as always, Ronald, the church or the school is not your babysitter providing a service that could be provided at Hope. Absolutely. There's still so much more of that today. I don't know if in your capacity you see that, Ronald, but I've seen where people just want to drop off their kids to volunteer, or the parents go with their kids, but they're not volunteering. They're micromanaging and not letting their child flourish in the growth of service. So that's another thing. Vic, what do you enjoy doing? What are your gifts? Where is he calling you to serve? Will you trust his provision? Serve with a loving heart. And I can tell you wholeheartedly that these are questions that I have pondered in the last, probably especially the last 15 years of my life. Yes, as an older adult. Absolutely. I've had these questions. I've had doubts and still do, looking to where he's calling me. And I talked about, I think last week I talked about how prayer is helping me with that also, and as well as some great people that I'm connected with. And absolutely always serve with a loving heart, right? What is the foundation? What is the motivation for your service? Think about that. When we're looking at our principles of service, as far as personal growth, many times, like the questions that Vic put forth, when we're looking for ways to serve, we learn about ourselves. We learn about what our passions are. We learn about what our skills are. We also learn about where we need to grow, or maybe things we should stay clear from as well, right? If we are not especially talented in something, even if we like it, let somebody with the talent do it. You have gifts. You need to figure out what those gifts are, and you will receive great joy from using those gifts as you build the kingdom. The societal impact is kind of a no-brainer. Everything we do has an impact, positive or negative. When we are serving, it should be with a positive impact. So look at what the outcome is. After you actually complete an act of service, whatever it may be, look at what the outcome was. What could you have done better? How did it affect the people, the animals, the places, your faith community? Many times people go to serve in their church because it's an easy place for them to serve. It is a great place to serve. Church usually makes it pretty easy and offers plenty of opportunities. But those are some of the things to think about. And I welcome comments and ideas if you have more that you'd like to share, because there's just so much out there. I obviously do not have all the knowledge. It is not my area of expertise. I'm sharing to get your mind and your heart going. And let God be an instrument in that. When we're talking about serving others, we're talking about living for others, right? So we were put on this earth to build the kingdom of God. That's what I believe, right? We're all interconnected. There is a purpose for each one of us. God gave us unique talents and skills, knowledge, things to build on to help build the kingdom of God. Now, it looks different in every person, but everything we do can be for the glory of God. From sweeping the floors to running a major corporation to running the country. I'm not going to get into politics, but everything you do can be for the glory of God, right? And as Vic said, an abundant mindset. Let others serve with their gifts. Share the service. Absolutely. And we do learn and grow from that. Ronald, I learned I was sometimes a facilitator and provide others to use their gifts in my STEM activities. Absolutely. Part of service to others is developing other people and allowing them to grow and to serve. One person cannot, should not ever do it all, no matter what. So as we're living for others, we need to prioritize the needs of other people and the well-being of others above our own personal gain. So we can look at many things and, you know, I'm full of opinions. If you know me, you know that. And I'm going to keep my opinions and my judgments to myself. But look around in the world and see, are people serving and giving for others or for personal gain? Once you look at other people, you better put a mirror in front of you and start looking at yourself. What are you doing? Are you doing it to receive? Are you doing it to get? Are you helping someone to get that photo opportunity? Are you taking advantage, or are you giving and serving because it's the right thing to do, because that's what God intended us to do? When you serve from the heart, it brings joy to others as well as yourself, and it brings joy to God. So when you're living a life of service, just heck, being alive and living out your day is an act of service. And it's how you use that is how it impacts others. How you frame what you do impacts others. It sets an example for others. So really, some of the Ronald, this is such a sore spot for me working in the church. When I worked in the church, right, giving to get a tax write-off, ouch. You know what's worse than that? What's worse than that is giving to get a to get a tax write-off and to get your name on a plaque so everybody can see that you gave at a certain level. Wow, that just rubs me the wrong way. And I had many discussions with my pastor about that because I really believe that was teaching our congregation the wrong thing. And the whole focus was what they were getting and who knew what they gave. But that I could probably talk for hours on that. So I'm going to move on. But yeah, ouch is right. So when we are serving and living for others, it benefits society as a whole. It has a ripple effect because when you affect one person positively, they will indeed affect another person positively. It's just a domino effect, a ripple effect. It goes out. You can, as one person, make a change in the world, right? Give to glorify the Lord by sharing love. And love comes in many forms, as we know. Absolutely. And, right, Ronald, the woman with the two mites. Absolutely. It's amazing to me when you have your mind in the right place and being open. And it's just like when they say, when someone, there's the exercise when someone says, you know, how many red cars do you see in a day? I don't know, not that many. And then you tell them to look for red cars. All of a sudden, there's red cars everywhere, right? The same thing when you talk about service and scripture and giving, wherever your mind is, that's where what you're going to see. So make sure your mind is in the right place, like Vic said, in abundance. We want it to be in giving. We want it to be in love. We want it to be to glorify the Lord. And you will see not only that happening around you, but you will see opportunities where you can instill that in others, whether it be through service, monetarily, speaking. Your actions will always speak louder than your words. All right. I love it. Let's share some scripture. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Excellent, excellent. Love it. And it has amazed me since I had an open talk with God in my car, how much I have heard back. That's I'm going to get emotional. That's kind of confirmed and guided me in where I'm going. So, and a reminder from God, hey, I put these people in your life for a reason. So anyhow, so really think about what you're doing, how it benefits others and society. And if you have anyone who's here has examples they want to share when you've embraced this mindset, and I can tell you that I had wrote a note because I read Vic Clisseri's post this morning about how he works with nonprofits and the difference he is making in the lives of people, not just the employees of the nonprofits, but the people they serve, the causes they serve. Because when you serve one person, again, it's a ripple effect. When you help someone develop personally, professionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, all of that just makes such a difference in the world. All right, here's another one. Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. My, how we forget that in this day and age. It's all about me, me, me. Well, let's stop it. Let's be the examples. fact, I challenge anyone and everyone who hears this broadcast, whether it be today live, you're watching the replay now, or years from now, or hearing it on my podcast, to put this in motion and report back, share. What was your experience in serving for the good of others, for serving in love? What was the effect on the person, group, or, you know, however that service is? How did that affect that person directly? And how did it indirectly affect others? And how were you affected by it? I would love to get feedback on that. In fact, if you want, you could even start a service journal, right? We have journals for everything. You could write down when you've done service and what that did. What was the outcome? Because sometimes we plant seeds today and we do not see results until years from now. And we don't always remember that we planted the seed because it takes longer for the fruit to grow. Just like a tree. If you start a tree from a seed, it takes a long time to get that big, beautiful shade tree. By the time it's that big, a lot of times the person who planted it's not around to see it, but it's making an impact and an impact on many. So when we're talking about, I know I had one comment from one of my friends on one of my posts when I was talking about service, about giving ideas of service. Really, you can, first of all, look at your family, because you can start with service to your family, the people closest to you, things that you do for them in service. Branch out to your neighbors, your neighborhood, your city, your community, your church, the schools. You can just start small and go big, depending on what it is. And really getting a inventory or taking inventory of your talents and gifts, of what you love to do, not just what you're skilled to do or the knowledge you have. Sometimes we spend our life in a career doing what we can do well, but it's not something that brings us passion because it's not our innate gifts, but it's a skill that we could learn. So think about what you have to offer and how you can offer it and go from there. So when you look around your community, internet, Google it. You can find local opportunities. Look in your church, in your church community. Many times churches offer many ways to either serve within that community or with them outward into outer communities and people in need. Look around your town. Are there homeless people? Are there people hungry? Are there soup kitchens? Are there people on the side of the road that need food or clothing? You can clean up stuff, take care of your community. You can be that listening ear and that shoulder for someone who's in desperate need. Yes, thank you, Vic. This is also a great research. It's Catch a Fire, right? F-I-R-E, I believe. Let me just type that again. I think that's what it is, right? Yeah. Catch a Fire. Yeah. I believe that's it. So that's absolutely a great source. There are a lot of sources for that. But again, if you align it with your innate talents, then it will be a joyful experience and those receiving it will receive more joy and will see your joy. And your joy will bring, yeah, thank you. Your joy, catchafire.org, your joy will bring joy to others and be an example. When you see two people serving and you see someone who's grumpy and they're there because they have to be, do you really want to be doing what they're doing? And what will the people really receive from them? Like, they're doing me a favor by being here? I mean, come on. let's make sure we're serving with a joyful heart. You can start again with the small acts of kindness. So there's that whole pay it forward in the drive-through where you can pay for somebody's meal and go on and on. But you can start even simpler. I've said this before. A smile goes a long way to making someone's day. Holding the door open. Saying thank you, please, you're welcome. Have a great day. Asking someone how they are doing. And if they just say fine, because we know that in America, how are you is like a hello. Most people don't care to know how you are. Be the person who cares. How are you? How are you really doing? You look troubled today. You look like you just did something exciting. You look like you had a success. Ask questions. Be a person that relates to others. That is a form of service as well. And again, there's long-term commitments versus short-term commitments. Something you do one time or a couple of times to something you do for a year. You can, like I said, you can serve in organizations. Heck, you can start your own service, right? Let's do cleanup around the neighborhood. Let's do mowing the lawns for elderly. Let's take people shopping. There's just a million ways. Start a Bible study. There's just a lot of things you can do to serve. And again, it's the ripple effect. When you make one effort, no matter how small, it will impact someone who will impact someone who will impact someone, and so on and so on. Again, my topic today was serving, living beyond yourself, serving others with a faith foundation. And we've brought some faith into this, but I want to talk about it a little bit more, because if you don't nurture your faith, it can fizzle out. You can move away from it. The busyness of life can take you away from your faith. Let's face it. A lot of times our jobs where we spend the majority of our day in TV, and a lot of times radio, just take faith out of everything. And you are what is in your mind and what is in your heart. That's what comes out of you. That's what shows up in your actions. Really, how many times have you heard, wow, people go to church, they get the word, they're all fired up in faith. And as soon as they hit the parking lot, they start swearing, they're rude, they're cutting people off, because we are not allowing our faith to grow inside of us. We're allowing other things to get in the way. Where is your importance? And I'm honest, I have to put myself in check a lot of times driving in Houston, to tell myself, and I do, I say it out loud, Michelle, stop. They can get in front of you. You're not going to be late, and it's not going to hurt you. Be more Christian. So be the reminder you need to be. Develop your faith. Have a faith community. Surround yourself with people who have the same values and faith foundation you do. You can grow together that way. Read your Bible. Read spiritual books, listen to podcasts. There's a number out there with faith in it. I think there's another program that's got faith in it that Vic shared with me called Solivity. They're on LinkedIn. They also have a website. They're probably in many other places, but that's a place you can plug into. There's so many places you can plug into to grow your faith, but make sure that you also do it on a personal level, that you're doing it at home as well as in public. You have to live your faith and grow your faith. This will help provide strength, purpose, and perspective in serving others. When you have, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. When you have a good foundation in your faith and you are growing it, you will definitely have a better perspective on serving others. It's not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. You're honored to do it. You're chosen to do it. Yeah, you're chosen. God has chosen you. So don't forget that. When we look at faith and service many, many times, people think about that. If you're in church, you do service. So there is definitely an intersection with that, because that's part of our faith teaching, is serving others. So they do reinforce each other, right? When you're serving others, it reinforces your faith. And when you have faith, it reinforces that you need to serve others. So it makes sense that you would integrate the two. Now, I'm not telling you to go shove your faith down somebody else's throat, but they should know what you believe by your actions, or at least have an idea, right? Or maybe even if you're so joyful in service, be curious as to why you're joyful in service. And then they'll ask you, and that'll give you an opportunity to share. That's one way that you can incorporate your faith into everyday acts of service. Also, you know, praying before you leave the house, first of all, you know, that you have peace and Christianity when driving. And second of all, you know, that your eyes are open to the opportunities to serve, because we don't need to ask for opportunities to serve because they are there. We need to have our minds and our hearts open to the opportunities so that we can see them and then follow through, because God gave us free will. We have the option of what we do and what we don't do. Along with that, there's a lot of challenges and rewards in living a life centered on faith and service. First of all, there's still so many places that faith is not accepted, in the workplace, in public. I mean, nothing against dogs, but it's so acceptable to bring your dog everywhere now. I mean, I see them popping up in grocery stores. You see them in restaurants. They're everywhere. But don't bring your faith. That would be wrong. So there are challenges to that. But with the right mindset, you can overcome the challenges on living your faith in life. Again, there's lots of rewards for service, and I don't want us to serve to be rewarded, but do know that there is. And that's throughout the Bible, that you will be rewarded for your acts. So it's not a bad thing to be rewarded at all. I don't want that the message to be that. But you are not, you don't serve to be rewarded, but it's okay to be rewarded. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. So a lot of obstacles for living with others, living to serve others with faith, are that if you're too vocal in your faith while you're serving, it turns a lot of people off because they are hesitant, uncertain, or anti-faith. it's kind of wrong to use that word, because if you don't believe in God, that's still a faith. So you do have to be careful how you live out your faith in service, you know, how open you are, make sure it's right. You do want to welcome people. You do want to be approachable. You want people to be able to ask you. You want your service to speak through your faith, or your faith to speak through your service. Yeah, I think that's more what I mean. Your faith to speak through your service so people see that. There can be a lot of doubts and setbacks and fears in the journey. Maybe something doesn't go well, or somebody comments at how you do something. It's okay. We all make mistakes. We all have failures. Remember, fail is the first attempt in learning, even if it's multiple times. We're human. We make mistakes. I was working with someone the other day, and I told this person, you're going to make mistakes. Make them. You're human. That's part of life. That's part of learning. So that's okay. people are going to be critical. Many times people are critical because they don't have the faith or courage to do what you're doing. So remember that. And when things get really difficult, most likely you're doing something very good that's going to have a great outcome, and you're trying, something's trying to stop you. So times like that, I suggest you pray about it. You know, if you're a meditator, you might want to meditate about it. If you are into journaling, journal about it, something that you can look back on and review. But throughout your faith and service journey, there will be roadblocks. There will be fear. We're all fearful of stepping out of our comfort zone. But when we step out of our comfort zone, that's where we grow. Make sure you have the positive mindset before you start in your service, and give whatever happens to the glory of God. Whatever happens, good or bad. If it's a negative experience, give the glory to God. I experienced this. I'm going to learn from it. Thank you for the opportunity. Absolutely. Absolutely. Failure is a learning experience. Absolutely. So to kind of wrap things up, I do, again, want to encourage everyone to look at how they serve. Look at how you serve on a daily level. Look at how you serve in your home, in your community, in your church, at your place of employment. If you're a business owner, how do you serve your employees? Are you a true servant leader? Think about that. Now, you can go back if you need some clarification. I, you know, shared about servant leadership. So think about that. And I want every one of us to go through a transformation, no matter how small or how large, that our service is something we do with faith, and we do it every day, multiple times a day. It's our service is who we are. It's using the gifts that God has given us. And here's a quote from Fred Brooks. Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. I can attest to that, sadly, but absolutely. So I challenge every one of you to be mindful and intentional about service this week. And I would love to have some feedback on how you have served and what the outcome was for yourself, for those you served, and what the ripple effect is or may be. So go and serve in faith. Thank you so much to everyone who has joined me. Thank you for those who are watching the replay. And again, I welcome feedback. Have a blessed Wednesday, everyone.